Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mano a mano on Rask, and he scores a beautiful goal by Jacob Vrana.
Playoffs happen, you know, most likely you're going to face that team at some point.
You know, we made a bad play, a turnover that cost us. We made a few of them, and that one eventually bit us.
Dale Arnold.
Zach Wilson is clearly the number one quarterback in the draft for me. It's Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. That's where it starts right there.
Rich Key.
Jackie Bradley Jr. signing a two-year deal with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Dives, he makes the catch. Oh, a marvelous catch. Jackie Bradley Jr. does it again.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Bleep last year. It's this year.
Wow.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com is in the house with us. It has been the biggest topic since, well, really since the Patriots were eliminated from playoff contention, but certainly since the Super Bowl until now, and that's the offseason for the Patriots. Mike Reese, superb Patriots beat reporter for ESPN.com, has a piece that I pulled up early this morning. The headline is, after big ticket targets, who should the Patriots pursue in NFL free agency? He points out that the Patriots are in need of talent at wide receiver, tight end, defensive tackle, at least. And he says they are now third in projected salary cap space at $62.2 million. If we assume that the big ticket items, the Hunter Henry, who Andy Hart doesn't like anyway, the Allen Robinson types, that they're a little too rich for Bill Belichick's blood, what Reese is doing is shopping at a more realistic aisle of the supermarket. Some names that won't excite fans very much.
Well, I was going to say, they may not excite fans, but I think we have to go into it knowing that the roster is so bad.
Yes.
That most names that you throw out there would be an upgrade. Now, the question is, do you want to or have to settle for a slight upgrade at all of these positions, right? Because with the exception of offensive line, most of the secondary and running back, if I just throw a name out there, if the guy played in the NFL last year, he's probably an upgrade. Wide receiver's an upgrade. Front seven's an upgrade. Tight end's an upgrade. Quarterback.
Well, let me challenge you on that. And let me give you one from Mike Reese's column.
All right, go ahead.
At tight end, he's talking about LA Rams tight end Gerald Everett, who had one catch this year.
Okay. Now, you're comparing him to who? You know, who else are you comparing him to?
Well, Asiasi and Keen. And
I think those guys would be – I had him for more than one catch, though, Dale. I think maybe it's one touchdown. He was a little bit more productive than that.
He had 417 yards this year.
Yeah, so he had
41. One touchdown catch, yeah.
One touchdown. But I would take him. He would be a big upgrade over what you have.
Yes, he's proven he can do it at the NFL level, which is something
he's a second-round pick back in the day, 2017.
Right. But, I mean, he's been there, done that, which – pretty much anybody the Patriots have had at tight end for the last 2 to 3 years can't say that. They haven't been there. They haven't done that, even at the mediocre level. Forget. And now, that's the funny thing. You say 400 whatever yards? Oh, so he was like one big game away from the same number of yards as Hunter Henry, the top tight end in the market. Like, the tight end world is weird, and I know a lot of you fantasy players know this.
Very top heavy.
Yeah, like you got your Waller, you got your Kelce, Kittle, and then there's like a big drop-off where, and now for the Patriots, it was much bigger than for
most. I was going to say, you have this big group of like 12 tight ends that are kind of similar, and then you have the next group. And the Patriots not only didn't have the top guys, they didn't have that next group.
No.
Like, they didn't have a bona fide starter, whereas I feel like Gerald Everett at least is a bona fide starter. He's not going to light the world on fire. He's not going to be an all-pro. But when you put him out there, whoever the quarterback is can look in the huddle and say, I have an NFL tight end out here.
Right. So, yeah. And then depending on what the other guys are, if he's your two, all of a sudden, he's a good two. If he's your one, okay, he's a mid-tier one, but you still have hope that Asiasi develops. And so that's what, like, this is more realistic to me. I know we've spent a lot of time talking the big stuff, but as you said, Rich, the roster is pretty barren. There's a lot of work to do. I've made the comparison. It's probably closer to the old, they called it the Blue Light Special Kmart class in 2001 that helped from 2000 to 2001 rebuild that roster. I find it funny. I don't know if you guys have followed on Twitter. The Patriots over at Patriots.com, those people are doing this real interesting thing, the 20-year anniversary of that year.
I saw Paul Perillo said, let Jared Stidham play quarterback, and I stopped reading.
Well, that was a great idea. He's a smart man. We share a brain at times, we have over the years. No, but they've also done, I think they actually started a Patriots Time Machine Twitter handle, and they're kind of pretending it's the 2000 offseason into 2001. Like, oh, Chad Eaton, you got, oh, Bruce Armstrong's gone. What are you doing at left? It's just a fun content filler.
Yeah.
And I actually think there's comparisons. Like, you need a big class of free agents. You can't, if one or two guys are good, you're not, like, in the past, there were years that was fine. You needed to add very specific things to a Tom Brady, you know, Rob Gronkowski-led roster. Now you probably need to go with the quantity approach so that some of them hit on the quality.
I'll give you the wide receiver option that Reese proposes that makes me the most excited. Oops. Nelson Agholor from the Raiders.
We was catching on like Agholor.
Yeah, I don't like Agholor.
896 receiving yards this year, career high, 48 catches, 18.7 yards per catch, second in the NFL among guys who had at least 25 receptions. Has some drop problems from time to time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
he also had 15 catches of at least 20 yards, 6 touchdowns of at least 20 yards, second most in the league.
I like that. I like big plays. I like the 18 yards per catch average.
No, he is.
I do have a quick question.
He's coming off a good year.
Who's throwing him the ball deep
if
we're looking to become like a big play, deep offense?
It's not going to be Cam Newton. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's not going to be him.
I like it then. Give Jarrett Stidham a shot. Give him a guy that when the play breaks down, just throw it deep and hope for a big play. I don't love it as the centerpiece of my, like, if you get Kyle Rudolph and Nelson Agholor, do you feel like you've really upgraded your offense all that much?
I don't.
Yes.
I don't.
Nelson
Agholor
is better
marginal.
Than what you have.
Marginally.
Yeah, but I don't really know
year.
What to
Nelson
what
Nelson Agholor is not a number one receiver.
No, right. Not
you
at
need
all.
Need a number. Like, if you brought in Allen Robinson and Nelson Agholor, it's like, all right,
not,
now we're talking.
You're not getting Allen Robinson.
No,
where
I
is
understand,
Nelson
like
Agholor?
Shime, what we're trying to do is be more realistic than that. And that's the point Reese is taking. You gotta look realistic.
I'm just saying he's not a number one receiver.
No, I don't
saying.
Like Agholor at all. I think he had his best year in a contract year, and I think the way that I think they did a pretty good job, or at least Derek Carr did a pretty good job last year. I don't know. I would not want him. I would not be super excited to have him. Plus, because he had, you know, almost 900 yards and 8 touchdowns a year ago, he's not gonna be super cheap. He's not gonna be one of these, you know, bottom of the basement 1 year deal guys. I bet,
but
he
he's going to be less
that.
Than Curtis Samuel, for instance, who
but he's also much
but he's
worse.
Not as good. Yeah, he's not. You get what you pay for.
Much
I mean
worse.
If the idea is to pay as little as possible, okay, go ahead.
Here are the three wide receivers that Reese has on his list. He's got Nelson Agholor, he's got Kendrick Bourne from the 49ers, and he's got John Ross from the Bengals.
I'd take Ross.
Those are his three realistic options at wide receiver.
I'll just run it back with Jacoby Myers.
I don't think you – well, yeah, I think
he's going to be here too. They're not cutting him to make room for these guys.
But Ross, to me, at least is a burner. Like, he's got a little different skill set than those other guys. I think he can fly down the field. And so
4.240 at the combine.
He can. He's ridiculously fast.
He pumps. The guy is so fast.
Was so overdrafted.
He was
overdrafted.
So was Agholor.
He's never really done anything.
Yeah,
I like that.
Ninth overall pick in the draft for Ross, by the way.
Yeah, he never.
That was insane.
Ninth overall,
and he's banged up all the time.
I feel like Bill Belichick at other positions has taken guys that have flamed out or were draft busts.
Yeah, if he's the fourth, or like if you sign a tight end and a wide receiver, and then that second week you're like, oh, they also added John Ross to a group, then I love it. Because the upside is a 4-2 first round pick guy.
He doesn't headline your group, but he's that chance. We always talk about how the Patriots would, if they had the ball on their own 25-yard line, they were not going to score a touchdown. There was no chance on that play that they would score a touchdown. They didn't have a single guy that could do it. And trust me, John Ross has not lived up to the pick or anywhere close to it. But I feel like if you break the huddle and he is your fourth option, but with that kind of speed, the defense has to at least be aware of him. You stick him all the way out there and you say, you go deep, and every once in a while we'll chuck it down there. I think it's worth it.
As Reese points out,
Demir Bird were fast too.
As Reese points out, the majority of the Patriots free agent shopping figures to be at moderate to lower levels.
Yes.
And that does kind of play to form here. As he also points out, we'll find out in the next few days if guys like Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin and Kenny Golladay and Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith hit the market at all without being franchise tagged, because some of them will be.
Yep.
And even if they do, if Golladay isn't tagged by Detroit, is Bill Belichick going to pay the kind of rate that Galladay's going to want to get paid? Because I don't think he will.
Probably not. Probably not.
And probably should. You know what I mean? You keep buying cheap wide receivers, you're going to get bad wide receivers. No, I know.
But you can. I mean, you can invest.
So Golden Tate got cut yesterday by the Giants. Meh. You could go get him.
Gassed.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think he might be done.
Still better than anything you have.
Yeah. Oh, you have the 25th best receiver in football in Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Sean?
Sorry, my bad, guys.
second best guy that anybody would have.
And that was the other guy, because I'm not going to pretend Bourne I'm overly familiar with. I haven't watched him a lot.
He had some
lot.
Good games, though, for the Niners.
He's fine. To me,
I look at him like Jacoby Myers. He's fine. Like, he's a good, like, third receiver if I have a couple that are much better than him.
You ask about, like, who's the quarterback, right? Like, when we talk about Golladay or paying money for Robinson or somebody like that. But you're not going to have a top five quarterback next year. So you're going to have one of those middle-of-the-road quarterbacks, probably at best. You're probably going to have a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. Aren't those guys elevated if they have playmakers around them?
Yes. And
so maybe you have to get the playmakers. They're the ones that are available. And now all of a sudden your middle-of-the-road quarterback looks a little bit better.
And it paves my runway for whoever the next quarterback is, that this is the placeholder, and then the Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Because you're surrounding
Golladay,
them with talent.
And right. You got a tight end. Yeah, I could go play there.
All right, so real quickly, just for the sake of completing the exercise here, here are the defensive free agent options for the Patriots that Reese says are realistic, you know, guys that you could see, that we could all see them going after. He's got Gerald Everett. They're the only two defensive players he's got on the list.
It's a sneaky big need, the defensive line, especially if Lawrence Guy isn't brought back and Dietrich Wise leaves and Adam Butler, I'm almost certain, will probably leave. You have the cupboard is bare. I think Byron Coward is the only guy that really played that you'd be bringing back on the defensive line. So, yeah, they need to add. Henry Anderson's a guy that just got cut by the Jets that I think should be in the mix as a pursuit, as a versatile, big body. But when you're – I mean, remember, Bo Allen was like the centerpiece of last year's defensive line additions, and you never even saw Bo Allen, and Bo Allen hadn't even started for the Bucks. Like,
yeah, that was a weird
one. There's a lot of work, and that's why people like Fitzy, I think, is falling in love with Barmore, you know, the kid from Alabama. Like, that's one of the needs, too, where you could go the first-round pick on the defensive line, and if you got your Will Fork Seymour type, okay, that at least you feel good about that area for 5 years.
Rodak wasn't a fan of Barmore.
No, and I knew that, and I kind of set it up because I wanted to poo-poo all over Fitzy's Barmore parade, because I don't really like Barmore either.
I did see a mock draft today. I think our buddy Dice sent it to us, where they had Barmore going to the Patriots at 15.
Yeah, no thanks.
No thanks. That would be very underwhelming.
Like, especially with what Rodak described as wasn't really a starter, kind of an underachiever.
I don't like it.
Almost quit the program.
I find it hard to believe.
Bill Belichick's going to draft a Nick Saban player who almost quit the program. That conversation, I can't see that playing out. Yeah, definitely. He almost quit, so you should take him with the 15th pick of the draft. Good call. I can't see that happening at all.
But I have a feeling that Reese's overall premise on the aisles they'll be shopping in, I think that's probably more likely. And I know fans want to see Allen Robinson, Hunter Henry, go get this guy, and that's probably not going to be what you get.
But you got to be careful. You know, you say the aisle, I say the shelf. You ever go to the liquor store and the good stuff's up here?
No, never.
When you're
have,
in college, no. You go down, you go down, you go down, you go down. Well, get a nice handle, big jug of vodka. Guy. Yeah, let's. And you know what
Mr.
happens
Boston's.
Later?
It's not good.
No, it
you
never
take paint
ends
off
well.
Your walls, though. You want?
And Andy's buying wine. The label says "Made with real grapes."
Yeah.
Served very cold.
Yeah.
It's one of those deals. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number if you'd like to join us. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, we've got our take that needs a 180. And boy, does somebody who plays for your New England Patriots have a take that needs a 180. It's Dale and Keefe. Hart's in the house with us, and Shime's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
It's time for this week's take that needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Warm weather, restrictions lifting, and spring training beginning. Welcome it while feeling your best with the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Occasionally we come across, you know, a take that needs a 180. Maybe somebody mistakenly says something, you know, maybe a slip of the tongue. It happens. You know, you talk 4 hours a day, 5 days a week on the radio. You will occasionally say something that you wish you could unsay. But, Andy, I'm not sure that's what happened here with a certain Patriots wide receiver.
I think a certain Patriots wide receiver, as you say, is in turmoil. And we've seen this a ways back. You know, his personal coach, the footwork king, said he was kind of toast mentally after his rookie year and dealing with Tom Brady and all that. And I think he's trying to say the right things. But this story in the Globe yesterday where he's just trying to have fun and he doesn't feel pressure heading into year three. Like, how do you not feel pressure as a first-round pick, the only wide receiver picked in that round in the Bill Belichick era, for an absolutely inept passing attack? You're supposed to be reaching – you should be a Pro Bowler right now, right? Like, I should be thinking, N'Keal Harry, Pro Bowler. There's nobody on the planet
in the mix.
Who's thinking that, right? Nobody
right,
on
even
the
if,
planet is
even
thinking
if
that.
Even if you're not as good as DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown – it shouldn't be this ridiculous gap that is what we're experiencing here. And listen, he's not the first wide receiver bust in the first round, and he certainly won't be the last. But, and I know you can't really win over everybody with words in March, right? Like, what can this guy, after two bad seasons.
Oh, but you might piss them off in March.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I think that's what he did. I think he went so far the other way where he's like, you know, just going out there and having fun. It's like, you're having fun? This is fun for you right now?
Yeah, what are you working on? Well, I'm working on everything, but I'm playing video games. I think I might open a gym with my boys out in Arizona. Like, there was nothing about this. If I were his PR guy, his therapist, his sports coach, any of them, I'd be like, I know we talked about some things, but you didn't handle this overly well. It was a very strange story from his perspective.
He's looking like the type of player, and then maybe you're reading it. And again, we can only read into what he says.
Right.
And so maybe we're making a bigger deal out of it. But the reality is you take his kind of personality, like in what, at least what we get out of it, I don't think he's going to be in the NFL very long. Like, I think he lasts as long as the Patriots keep him. He's under contract for 4, potentially 5 years, depending on if they pick up that option, which right now they won't.
No.
They won't. Like, even 4 years seems like it might be a stretch.
Yes.
Now, maybe some other team sees the just the size. Like, Andy, you talk about, you know, he's the all-airport team or the all-bus team.
Yep.
Or
get off the bus. Flex a little.
Woo! This guy must be great. Like, he's
jiggle
he's
your peck a little bit as you get off. Jiggle it a little
now,
bit.
Now, you remember going? This is going all the way back to the Richard Seymour draft, where a lot of fans, probably myself included, wanted David Terrell.
Yes,
everybody wanted David Terrell. He went. He was the 8th overall pick.
Ron
that
Borges
year by the Bears.
Sure did.
Oh,
he
boy.
Played 4 parts of 5 seasons and was done. And he was an even much higher pick than Harry. So he's not the first wide receiver that didn't make it. But the Patriots took him in the first round. And the Patriots, with the exception of Dominique Easley, in 20 years, hadn't had a single bust. Well, now they've had two. I don't think this guy is going to figure it out. I really don't. I think he's on the team this year. But, again, it might also be a sort of a numbers game. How many other receivers do you really bring in? Hey, you did invest a lot in him with that pick. Let's try one more year. But
or trade
that'll
him.
Probably be it.
You could also trade him. He could be
to
a
who?
A... to somebody. I mean, if you could trade Bethel Johnson for somebody, like, there's always these
sort
of
Duke Dawson.
Change of scenery, like, your trash, my trash. Let's just see if you get better, I get better, whatever.
Okay, yeah,
I could see
that.
But
so,
do you feel bad for him at all? I know I shouldn't.
Me?
Forget.
No.
Ooh,
for a
forget you,
athlete?
Rich. I know, Rich, you don't feel bad for him.
I don't. No, I don't. He's talking to Nicole Yang of the Boston Globe. She asks, Are you feeling any pressure going into year three? Now, let me play the part of Bill Belichick. Yeah, we've got to be better. You know, we've all got to be better. We can't play the way we played before. That'd be the good answer. Right. What he gave Nicole Yang was, no, to be honest, I'm just having fun with it and enjoying the game. He also told Nicole Yang he doesn't think much about his doubters. Quote, I don't have anything to say to them. I do this for the people that believe in me, the people that have always supported me. I do this to perform to my own expectations. Nobody's expectations are going to surpass the expectations I have for myself. To the naysayers, I don't really have anything to say. I'm not worried about them. I'm pretty unfazed by them.
See,
unquote.
I don't have as big a problem with the
second
quote.
Second part,
if,
not
if
as bad.
Had, he had handled the first quote properly, of course I feel pressure. I'm a first-round pick who hasn't lived up to, first and foremost, my expectations, my hopes, my dreams about what I can be. I've worked out with DK Metcalf. I've worked out with those guys. I'm supposed to produce like those guys, and I haven't been able to do that for whatever reason. So, yes, I feel like I need to raise my game. Because then once he goes into, but I hold myself to a higher standard. I don't need naysayers to tell me I stink. I haven't been good enough on the football field. Everybody can see that. I have no problem with that mentality, and I do. I actually feel bad for him. In my few interactions with him, he seems like a nice kid, and I do think
Oh, I don't know him personally at all. I don't mean that at all.
No, but I think he has been – it just hasn't worked. I feel like everything he's done since he arrived in New England just hasn't quite fit, whether it was with Tom Brady or the injuries or, you know, just the what he's supposed to say, what he's supposed to do. He's on the field. He's questioning himself. He makes a mistake, and Tom Brady blackballs him, whatever. It just hasn't fit, and – You end up scrambling, right? Like, you don't really know how to respond to it. And then I think, you know, as his personal coach would say, you end up getting crushed mentally because you're used to dominating, right? In high school, you dominated.
Oh, yeah.
ASU, you had 1,000 yards, whatever. Yep. You're used to succeeding. So the first time you get, you know, poke checked in the cup, let's say, you don't really know how to react. Like, no. I show up and I produce. That's how, now what do I do? And you learn about the person, right? You
and
learn about what the
like
person has.
Just scrolling through some of his old tweets, like during the season, I don't know if it's fake confidence or what it is, but it seems like he'll post a picture of himself in the uniform with like the LFG and like the we just getting started. And you're you're so far away from it right now. Right. Like maybe take it easy with the pictures of you in the uniform doing nothing. Like you're just really just asking for ridicule at that point.
And then the other basis of this story was this, and I don't remember the name now. He's basically sounds like a kid in the backyard working out. He's got this machine that shoots him balls.
Yeah, he's
like,
working out with a robotic.
Robotic, which is kind of cool. I actually went to the website and looked at it. It is pretty sick. It's probably a better option at quarterback for the Patriots than some of these guys we're talking about. But it was
$5 million.
Like,
how much? How much does he want to play for?
But you like, don't you feel like he should be? We've been very critical of Jarrett Stidham for not handling off seasons properly. You should be working out. You should be getting receivers together. I feel like N'Keal Harry, even in a pandemic, should he be in his backyard with a jugs machine? Or shouldn't there be more to these workouts? Like, this is make or break time. I don't know if he's aware of that. Rich, you articulated it. You are at a not just Patriots career crossroads.
That's kind of it for you.
You might not want to open that gym because I'm not sure you're going to have the financing that you think you have. Yep. And that's an expensive endeavor kind of decision time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure he's maximizing his offseason. I mean, I guess maybe we'll get something on Instagram, we'll see him with his shirt off, running up a hill, cutting to the left, and you'll be like, ooh, he looks good. And I'll be like,
oh, look at the footwork.
Yeah. Great, great. Can you do it?
By the way, as we get back to the calls, word from Adam Schefter and others, the Steelers have signed quarterback Ben Roethlisberger to a new contract for 2021.
What's the numbers, Dale? We got numbers
yet? Don't know. Have not seen him anywhere.
I want to know if he's a man who put the money where his mouth is. I don't care what my salary is this year. Did you just take a flat salary cut, or is this one of those they'll have to pay the bill down the road on the cap?
So I'd say my first reaction would be that probably takes them out of the market for one of these veteran quarterbacks, but not so much the rookie ones.
Like I'd be drafting a quarterback,
drafting a guy. But it seems like the Patriots are one of the few teams that are competing with both. Like they would be in the veteran market and the rookie market.
Yes.
And at least Roethlisberger is just staying there. Like, okay, guys like, you know, Garoppolo or Bridgewater or Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton, like all these guys, all right, that's not a destination for them.
All right, back to the calls. Ken's in California. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up? Great. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, a couple of things. One, I think with this quarterback stuff, you guys are all wet. Cam Newton's coming back, and Bill Belichick is going to build a defense. He's a defensive coach first. They'll put a few little things around Newton, but Van Noy is going to come back. You watch. He's going to get Hightower back, and he's going to sign Stephon Gilmore a little more money, and he's going to have a back end, and he's going to have a heck of a defense. Your offense didn't lose all those games last year. Not all of them. Some of them your defense lost.
That's true.
Yeah, they were bad across the board last year, and I think Cam Newton's coming back too.
But why do you have to bring Cam Newton back if you're worried about building your defense?
Because he's a game manager, and what are you going to do? Bring
back? No, he's not.
He's not a game manager.
Jimmy, you're going to bring back Jimmy can't stay on the field. You're going to bring back Jimmy can't stay on the field, Garoppolo?
At the risk of playing the Andy Hart side of the street, I'd rather have Jarrett Stidham at quarterback than Cam Newton.
Boom, convinced
you. Absolutely not.
Why?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
Why?
Are you kidding me?
Ken, I watched every minute of every Patriots game this year.
Yeah.
How did I become
a game manager?
So did I. And Cam Newton
more picks than touchdowns.
And Jarrett Stidham, every time Jarrett Stidham got in, okay, he cracked the bed.
Not true.
Every time he got in, the game was already so out of hand because the first quarterback couldn't score.
He had nothing to do with it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did he lose
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did he not play in that Kansas City game?
Yep, threw a nice touchdown pass to N'Keal Harry.
Hoyer was the one that really kind of let that one slip away.
And then what else did he do? Did he throw a pick?
Yeah, but I think what you're doing is you're kind of focusing on the wrong details. Yeah. We have 15 games of Cam Newton. And by the way, I think he is coming back. So the guy starts out by being like, you guys are all idiots about the quarterback. I think he is coming back. I just don't want him to come back. It's a big difference there.
And the only way I would want him to come back is if you draft one of the top four quarterbacks somehow, some way.
Right.
And that's your franchise quarterback for the future. Newton, go in there and play the first four games till
1 year
Justin's
deal.
Ready to play.
Right.
Would that
work?
That
sort of thing.
Would that work, too? Because I have some questions about that.
It's a good
if you watched,
I don't know.
It's a valid question.
The
I am
athlete, he referenced in the I am athlete podcast, like
one of the best
he wanted to lash out. No. Yeah. But he also said there were times where he actually thought about firing back and lashing out and was like, no, I'm not going to do that. If he comes back as the bridge and then four games in is benched, now he knows his time in New England is over, right? It's all but over, even though it's only September, October. Does he lash out? Does he not handle it well? Does he get emotional? Does the Superman in him that still thinks he's Superman create issues?
Right.
I'm not so sure if it's obviously over if he'll handle that well. The reason he didn't do it last year is because he didn't want it to obviously be over. He was hoping he would come back. He was actually campaigning to come back late in the year. He didn't want to burn that bridge because he knows might be the only place in the National Football League he could actually do his little thing, point to the gods, and actually start a game because everywhere else, I don't think he has a shot in hell of starting.
What else you got's coming up next? Dale and Keefe with Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things we might have missed earlier in the show.
What else you got?
Andy?
Dale, I'm short.
Me too.
Yes.
Yes. And yet people still find a way to turn that into a shot, right? Oh, are you sure? Get it on Twitter all the time.
Because there's something we can do about that, right?
And that guy's fat and that guy's tall. They're all just physical facts, right? It is what it is.
I am small.
Well, I could have that surgery where they like break your bones, pull them apart,
stretch
put a rod in.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
Lifts, maybe. I could get lifts or just... But anyway...
I have a little box I stand on set at the Garden.
Hey, it happens.
You know, so that they can get me and Jaffe and Barry somewhat in the same shot, because I'm sure.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather be 5'2 or 7'2?
5'2.
I think 5'2.
7'2 would be cool for like a minute, and then I would regret it.
You'd either have to be a basketball player or a wrestler. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth it at all. You can't fit into cars. You can't
Everything
sit
sucks.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anyway, 5'2. Jim Boeheim, who seems like he's turned into a little bit of a bully in the course of his coaching career at Syracuse. Apparently, there was an athletic writer who had the audacity to just question Jim Boeheim. Some playtime issues. If guys had played, maybe they'd be a little bit better. And there were reports that this athletic writer and Jim Boeheim had kind of hashed it out, had a conversation and moved on. And then last night in his post-game press conference, the bully that is Jim Boeheim made it quite clear, apparently, he hasn't moved on.
But if I played Jesse and Kadari, we'd probably be 22-2 now. I just didn't see that. And I couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2".
Ooh.
Go ahead, Anthony, with your question.
What a burn. Loser.
And by the way, he missed the trifecta because he went for the short. Oh, yeah, he's short. Yeah, he's short. Oh, you haven't played the game. I'm surprised he didn't say I'm a lucrative basketball coach. I've made
check
millions
my bank
over
account.
The year.
Oh, that was the next line probably. Like,
what
check
a
my bank account.
Dink of
what
all
an absolute
dinks.
Loser.
So that was so a bad. Go ahead, John. I don't want to interrupt here. Go ahead and hit the button first.
What else you got?
Because I'm going to add to that.
Oh, nice.
So you've got Jim Boeheim, retorting during a Zoom session.
How
could
you possibly question Jim Boeheim?
Yeah,
y'all
right.
Jim
Boeheim. Jim Boeheim.
So last night, the Edmonton Oilers got beat by the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've lost all three games of the three-game series so far this year. They've been outscored like 13-1 in the three games. Draisaitl had no points. Connor McDavid had no points. And that led to this little exchange on the post-game Zoom session.
Speaking of not good enough, your top players it didn't produce much of anything in this series. Does it add to the frustration that you guys really didn't hold up your end of the bargain?
No, we love that. We love going without a point in 3 days for sure. It's great.
Boom, roasted. Now, I like that one a little more because
that's
it was directed
we
at himself. Yeah, no, we like going without any points.
Us going scoreless, that's a good plan. That's what we were trying to do.
I mean, there are times when some of those sessions, some of those questions are inordinately stupid, and that was
they're horrible. And I've been guilty of asking that questions myself. Trust me, but some of them, I'm surprised you don't get that more often from a player coming off of a loss. Like, yeah, talk about your inability to score. Yeah, that's why we lost. So next, give me a break.
I do think that the Zoom sessions are making it easier for people. We've had a couple of these this year. The one player who kind of tore into a guy. And, you're not looking the person in the eyes. You may see him on the computer screen, but it's not the same as sitting in the room with him. And
It's like the social media muscles, or people are a little more comfortable on social media behind the keyboard, the keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, I think it's a little harder, even for like big bully coaches like Jim Boeheim or Bill Belichick. It's still a person. If you're face-to-face with that person, it's not as real online.
What else you got?
Rich, when I saw this, I thought of you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Andy sent this to me. A bunch of people sent this to me. Baker Mayfield, my guy, tweeted out last night at 11:40 p.m., almost 100%. M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us had saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anyone else witness this? So Baker Mayfield has seen a UFO. I am all in.
Susan and I had that happen once years and years ago up in Maine. We were driving and saw and went, what the hell is that? And I think, like Baker and M, Susan and I may have seen something like that too.
Same. The Rich Eisen Show has a good poll on right now. What would you rather you see your have your franchise quarterback see, aliens or ghosts? Aliens is winning. They'd rather that their franchise QB see aliens. So.
Well, the Jets quarterback saw ghosts in a game.
Right.
Yeah, that was a
so
bad thing.
Aliens much better.
Aliens
much
for
better.
Sure. Yes.
I want to see a UFO. I've never seen one. I want to see one.
It's cool.
You saw one?
Yes.
Scared the crap out of us when we saw it. Yeah.
I didn't see an alien. I saw like a UFO type of thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm UFO. The only one here who hasn't seen a UFO.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
No, open your eyes a little bit.
Goals. My eyes are open?
I haven't seen a ghost, but I have heard a ghost.
Ah.
That's probably different. Andy, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Yes.
And we got to get out of here. OMF's coming up next, top of the hour, 2 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Yeah.
I wish he was a little thicker and bigger.
That's all, folks.